This is the Mining Your Business podcast, a show all about process mining, data science, and advanced business analytics. Joining me, as always, is the one and only Jakub. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Patrick.
So I think it's safe to say that almost everyone has interacted with a bank to some degree, whether it's signing up for a new bank, taking out a loan, or just day-to-day cash withdrawals. Joining us today is Andrea Lieb, Head of Simplification Oversight at Hypo Vereinsbank, and we are going to find out what simplification entails, what process mining can achieve in banking, and how customers of a bank are profiting directly from process mining. Let's get into it.
Hello, everyone. You probably already know this, but I am a big personal finance fan. And
Really? You?
Yeah, Patrick, you might have already heard about that. And actually, in today's episode, I kind of feel like closing the loop between the two worlds I'm very passionate about, and that is the world of finance and the world of process mining, because today's guest is a head of simplification oversight at Hypo Vereinsbank, and her name is Andrea Lieb. Andrea, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much. Welcome. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, so are we. As I was mentioning a few times before on the show, the throughput times for getting the guests to our podcast is getting somewhat longer, and you are no exception here. So it's interesting, and I'm especially very grateful that you finally made it, and we can, for me personally, close this gap between process mining and finance. So once again, thank you for coming. And the first question I have is actually towards your job description. We've had a lot of people here with a lot of different job positions and descriptions. And to be honest, the head of simplification oversight is the first one I've heard something like that. And I actually love it. Could you tell us and the audience what it actually means? And maybe even a follow-up question, how do you explain it to your friends?
Oh, that's tricky. Sure, maybe let me give some background where this role comes from and where it developed to. So when I joined this area of process framework in Hypo Vereinsbank already back in 2018, the activities in this team were more related to the process documentation. So given the regulatory needs in banking, it was already established since years that processes are modeled, are documented, that you have a process architecture and process roles. And this was the situation when I joined this team. So a lot coming from these regulatory driven needs, documentary, administrative. And while I was in the first years with the teams more focusing on kind of reducing all these rules and conventions, mm-hmm. what needs to be documented, we started quite soon, already in 2019, to develop this content more to a content-wise process framework. Yeah, so really also not just documenting it, but looking at the content, understanding the processes, analyzing them up to optimizing them. And it was already in 2019 when we started the first pilots with process mining. Mm-hmm. And then 2-3 years later, we also focused on content-wise process optimization. So this was this development from this very documentary process framework up to also content-wise process analytics and optimization. And it was then now back at the beginning of 2022 when we saw that from one side, I mean, there are so many components also around processes that need to be considered or that mm-hmm. belong to processes, how you want to see it, let it be documents, controls, organizational topics, which brought us to the kind of rebranding, not to name it any longer process excellence or mm-hmm. process governance, but to come to simplification, which is a better umbrella where you can address all these different dimensions mm-hmm. around processes that define the process setting of the bank. And since our bank is quite established and old bank, of course, in the past, complexity grew. So we had many processes, many different also product types and so mm-hmm. on. So this was the decision to say, let's name it simplification, since this is one of our key goals, to get as simple as possible, as standardized as possible. Mm-hmm. And so this was the kind of rebranding now already 1.5 years ago, where still process governance, process analytics and optimization all belongs to, but with a more, let's say, flexible mandate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you've said that you're now in this simplification program, and I can also see, judging by your LinkedIn, that you've been at Hypo Vereinsbank for quite some time. Can you tell me a little bit about how one gets into that role of leading the simplification, right? Where did you start and how did you get where you are now?
Mm-hmm. Also, it was always existing, this process framework, yeah, in a kind of a orga area, you can call it like that. It was established in COO, Chief Operations Officer, mm-hmm. where this process documentation was existing, I think, since something like 2005, yeah, since really the regulatory needs required this quite early. And in the financial sector, of course, there's also this huge development of the market, of being quicker to customer needs and so on. And this was, I would say, when until the last 5, 6, 7 years, the need to be more agile, to be simpler, just got more dominant. And this is when exactly this new mandate and focus on simplification, mm-hmm. on agile grew in the bank, and when this need and mandate and position was created. Yeah, I mean, my personal development was, I started in the bank in internal audit. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to the investment banking business. That's here some projects, change management, and then changed into the process area. So always working in a kind mm-hmm. of a generic mode. And hence now this simplification topic with a bank-wide mandate is really interesting, since we are working with all of the areas. You're working on the mindset change, on methodological topics, on single cases, which are interesting to trigger. So this is quite a wide range, which I mm-hmm. really enjoy.
Andrea, you already said that you work in all the areas. So would I assume that if you are in a, you know, in position of simplification processes, you get your hands on standard finance processes, but also processes such are very specific to banking, let's say some claims process or creating of new accounts or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
How do you, you know, go into these departments and distinguish yourself in a way that what are your responsibilities and like, how do you even tell them that you can help them if you have such a big overhead over everything, basically, over all different processes? Because this segregation of duties can be very tricky, I assume.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, what helps is maybe our process owners, which are distributed across the whole institute. Yeah, mm-hmm. So we are really also working across a process organization. So a process like account opening has its process owner who is sitting basically in the business side. And with those, we are working very closely. And I think this is a very good setting we can leverage on, since they have the responsibility to know their process, to work with them. And since the last years, even more also to analyze them with KPIs and to optimize them. So their targets, their needs are matching with the tools and with our mandate to support them. If we would not work in such a process organization with also dedicated colleagues mm-hmm. who have the task to make the processes better, it would be, of course, far more difficult, and I would mm-hmm. really miss these counterparts. But this is a good team where we can cooperate, and also in the last years, really the focus and the importance of processes grew, where mm-hmm. I would say like 5, 6 years ago, it was maybe more like a administrative burden. Colleagues now understand that it's really a success factor also of their business activities. Yeah, I mean, I can just do more volume if my process is smooth and stable. And came together during the last years. So this makes us also easier to come to them and say, hey, look, we are helping you in on exactly your business goals while focusing on the process. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we've had people on the show before and they kind of defined what process excellence is and all these things. Now, can you define for us what you would consider a process being simplified, right? You spoke that, you know, it's a little bit of complexity has grown over the years. And how do you personally or like the organization itself define, okay, this went from a complex process to now it is simplified, or we achieved our goal of simplifying this process?
Maybe two dimensions of my answer to that. From one side, we are really tracking for all our processes some documentary KPIs that tell us how many detailed processes, how many steps, how many interfaces, how many different application tools has a process. So this gives us a kind of objective, comparable figure setting where I can say, look, if an end-to-end process like account opening has more than 200 detailed processes, then it looks quite complicated. Yeah, so this is based just on the figures, how we define the processes. But more a qualitative answer is it should be as standardized as possible. So not having kind of different variances per customer segments or channels and so on. So really having this one chain where just maybe the front end and the end front end is different depending from which channel the item comes into the process. But then you have really this one stable chain. And of course, in the current times, also the automatization rate is an important topic, that we can really reduce manual steps, but that you have a workflow which also kind of guides the process, which per definition defines standardization. And this is key, I think, in particular for the business processes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were a lot of your colleagues and even yourself, you started in this regulatory background with a lot of documentation, process trees, and so on. And I really like to hear that because what I've been experiencing and working on a lot of different process mining initiatives, I sometimes lack this a little bit, that there is not really a way on how the process should look like, and we're rather looking right away and how it looks like. Can you tell us like how, maybe let's reframe the question. How does it look to document a process? Is this just, you know, in paper somewhere lying around in the company, or do you also use some other tools such as, you know, a famous Aries that's doing like a business process maps? And how do you then take it to this next level of comparing as, you know, how does it look like and how it should look like?
Yeah. No, it's exactly Aries. The tool is where we are working with. And it looks like that exactly the process tree. So we have around 250 end-to-end processes defined. This is established already since years. And for each of these processes, a process owner is defined, also in a certain level of hierarchy in the bank. And with him, we are defining the sub-levels. So level 4, which is just the high-level value chain, and level 5, which are really the detailed processes, which contain the steps and documents used and so on. And I have a team of process governance, which also covers process designer. And they are working with the process owners to model and map the processes in Aries. So this is the kind of operating model we are following. And this means we are having there always, I would say, a complete and up-to-date process content, which is, of course, a high effort to maintain. But it's worth it since it's a very, very important database in Aries. Yeah, I mean, you know that we are not painting them, but we are modeling them. So you see all the correlations, all the object information. We have attributes. We also kind of customized the needs we have there. So really a very important database from where we also serve the needs of the bank of our operating instruction framework. So this process content is exactly the official way how we instruct the colleagues to work in their daily work, but also, for example, when it comes to risk or control assessment. So this is all done based on this ARES process content, which is, I think, also important that you have these different use cases of this content, also to legitimate the effort behind, not just for my team, but also, I mean, we have many process owners which are at least knocked and contacted once per year just to check if everything is still up to date. Or, of course, with many projects ongoing, many changes, the colleagues are kind of involved in these projects in order to, on the fly, change the processes. Yeah,
I can imagine that in it would be quite a big focus then to also use tools like process mining to then compare that to the mapping, or at least the process mapping that you have in ARES, specifically for regulatory requirements.
So you mean comparing the process models and the process mining content?
Correct.
Yeah, that's, I would say, still a topic we are checking. But honestly, my experience so far is that this comparison is not so helpful. Yeah, I can tell you why. In ARES, we have also a different dimension vary model. Yeah, I mean, more generic, I would say. So you're saying, okay, customer request comes in, it's analyzed, and then the next steps. Whereas in process mining, we are looking deeper. Yeah, you're looking maybe sometimes on the execution of the different masks in the workflow tools. So we have really a different level of detail where we look at, which makes a direct comparison difficult. Yeah. So we did it maybe in single items, but we do not use it as a systematic tool, or maybe we have not yet come to the point where we really can compare it one-to-one. Yeah.
Now, Andrea, if you have modeling, shouldn't already all the processes run pretty well because they are modeled in a way how they should be executed? And they apparently don't, if you also need then this other layer of process mining and comparing how it should be done and how it's actually done.
Yeah, that's always the difference between the defined processes and the real execution, which is, which is just natural since you have these steps, but of course colleagues can go back and forth, or they use the process in a different way. It sounds obvious what you are saying, but I think for process experts, with all sometimes the painful experience they have, it's also clear that there is a quite difference between these two areas. Yeah.
Yeah. You also mentioned that a big success factor is the overall awareness of this process, mindfulness, I would probably even call it.
Yeah.
And we've had guests before who were telling us that they had to do like at least a demo a day. Maybe not, they were more focused on process mining, but I guess in your case, it would be a little wider than just process mining, but still, you have to go around and be basically this preacher who keeps telling, this is what we do and this is why we do it and that's why it's important. Is that also the case for you?
No, absolutely. I mean, we have this good situation that we can establish on our process governance and existing process roles for years, but it stays a continuous activity also of my team to bring this on the agenda and also to always show this impact and the positiveness of processes. We are doing this via different activities. So from one side, we are following a kind of relationship manager model of my process designer with the different process owners in the bank. So everybody is in contact constantly with the same process owners. And so they understand what is going on, they understand their concerns and so on. So this creates a relationship, which makes it easier to work together. On the other hand, we are doing like once a quarter process owner community events where some show best practice examples, where we discuss new ideas and so on. We also always try to make it nice, maybe with some drinks and so on. So really to have also this community idea. And on the other side, so this is more really where we try to have this positive mindset and culture. And I mean, on the other side, process owners recognize that their role is important since they are contacted by us, but also by different other frameworks in the bank, from the risk and control area, to check their processes. So they also see, okay, it's an important role. Also nowadays, they have KPIs. So based also on the artist content, we compare all the end-to-end processes exactly in these also complexity figures I mentioned earlier. So it's also sometimes a little bit a competition where they also want to be good. So I would say we are approaching them with different angles, but mostly really in supporting and enabling them and showing how important their role is. And also on giving them some spotlight, for example, when we create an intranet story or something where we also show that they're doing their process management activities very well.
Right.
Well, that sounds great, actually. So when your department, how does that actually function? Like, do you have a target or a next target that you look to for simplification? Or how is that decision made? Like, who is the target for a simplification? Is it that everyone is done all at once, like all the processes, or is it that you go step by step, project by project, or how does that look?
I have bank-wide targets for the simplification journey, which is, for example, reduction simplification of processes. So this is leveraging on the artist content. And simplification of controls, since this is also consequence of institute being very risk focused, that of course many controls were set up, but now also with automatization, with risk oriented look at all the controls in one process, there is potential also to simplify that. So here we have targets for, let's say, the whole number of processes and controls to be simplified and reduced. And on the other side, where we do our analytics and optimization content, we have for those processes that are covered with process mining, of course, targets like reducing the process time or increasing adoption rate and so on. And also we are doing kind of lean process optimization activities, but also we are counting per year how many cases we have, so how many different processes we are touching, and how many person days potential we create with this optimization effort. So it's really to free up resources which colleagues do for an administrative thing and so on. And the target is that with this optimization, this potential can be freed up in order that colleagues, for example, in the sales area, can invest it in their direct customer relationship. So here we are working on these different angles, I would say.
I like it. I like the combination of focusing on the some of the benchmarks, or let's say goals that you're trying to achieve as a company or maybe even as a department. For me, it always proved valuable to motivate the people I worked with to also set these goals, because then it helps with the overall approach and then focus on value. So really, really like that. Andrea, when you introduced, you mentioned process mining sometime in 2019. What did it change for this overall business process management in your company?
I mean, what changed at the very beginning was that when we did not have not even started the analytical part, but for example, at really the first demos and POVs, we just showed the process explorer, so the visual part, and showed it either to process or product owner or even to our board member. I mean, this was really nice, since the colleagues were really like, wow, that's my process. Yeah. And it was really this change coming from a very maybe boring administrative process description from, wow, that's how it looks like. And it looks very dynamic. And this was where it was really a nice moment at the very beginning, where just this visual effect, in my view, brought colleagues closer to their process life. Yeah? And they said, wow, that's how it feels. And now I can show it and other can understand my pain and so on. And this was a nice nice effect. But in general, of course, just understanding of the process, yeah, how it goes. And also that you have now objective data that you can discuss instead of often subjective discussions between different stakeholders along the process. So it brought out a little bit also the maybe emotional part, and we could focus really on objective data and how the process really goes. So I think this was a good effect also of process mining.
Yeah, we like to say that process mining made this business process management sexy again. And there are actually a younger generation now also wanting to do this and work as a process mining architect or analyst. And it's exciting because then you're combining these two worlds of you know, how it should look like now, how it versus how it looks like. And you are trying to make the best out of both technologies.
Yeah.
So you then introduced process mining. And did you also, being a bank, start with this, what I call a big four, like accounts payable, purchase to pay, accounts receivable, or order to cash? Or did you jump into some specific banking use case right away?
Yeah. As our focus was always and still is our key banking products and processes. So this is where we started and we still focus on with our analysis. Also given the fact that exactly these big four processes you mentioned, I mean, of course, they are also important, but different to producing industries. Our provider business is not the core thing. Yeah. And also, so the focus was since the beginning, of course, the banking products and processes. In particular, since these are, of course, directly linked with positive customer experience. So if I get an account opened as quick as possible, the customer is happy and we have a good time to market. So this was in particular for the targets of process mining, the main areas to focus on. Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about what some of these processes look like? Because I mean, I some of our listeners, including myself, aren't that familiar with banking processes and all the things that go on in it. Could you give us a little bit of light about the types of things you're looking at?
Sure. So looking, for example, at a very important area, consumer finance, consumer lending. I mean, in a bank, you have basically the two big products, which have some sub-product types, but let's keep it easy, consumer finance and mortgage. So these processes look like that the loan request comes in. Here we are also talking about different channels nowadays, branch, broker, online, app, etc. So here you have maybe already some variances and some different tools and data points you need to collect also for the process mining analysis. The information comes in, maybe some information needs to be completed in exchange between the bank and the customer until it runs into the credit decision. Maybe also around that, some further checks are needed with positive approval. The credit is approved. And here, a mortgage, for example, has, of course, then a payment period taking longer, whereas for consumer finance, the need is or the target is to have also the payment quite quickly. So here, for example, not just the time to yes, but also the time to cash is an important KPI, which really finishes basically also the customer experience for the moment, yeah, that he can have quickly the money to buy a TV, a car, whatever. And this is, for example, one of our key processes around customer loans.
So is it looking at specific bottlenecks in that process? Or, for example, we're chasing this document in order to go to the next step to finally complete the application? Or what is it that you're really looking at here?
From one side, you have maybe three key stakeholders along the process. So you have the sales colleagues who are in contact with the customer. You have the risk colleagues with the credit approval competencies. And you have often also back office areas who do the processing. So one important part is the smooth cooperation between these different parties, sitting in different units, sitting sometimes in different locations, to see is there hopefully not too much back and forth, too much ping pong. Mm-hmm. Is the information, the data arriving at the right place at the right time? So in particular, loops in ping pong between these mm-hmm. Different areas is an important topic. But also of course the time in general. Yeah. I mean, do we see that an item, waits at a certain point too long? Why can it not be processed? In particular for, consumer finance, or not mm-hmm. for the mortgage, but consumer finance, where you also have quite clear criteria. So here's really the expectation that it goes through, quite smoothly. So I would say time and also cooperation between the process users is here a key component. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Weren't there, or if I imagine banking, I can see that in every country it's going to work somewhat different because there's going to be different rules, different governance and everything. Did you also notice when analyzing this that there were actually huge differences between countries for various reasons?
I mean, we are still focusing, Hypovereinsbank being the German subsidiary of UniCredit, on the German market. So we are working here quite in the same regulatory context. Mm-hmm. We see, of course, more differences, for example, when it comes also to the different channels, yeah, that you really see, okay, depending on mm-hmm. from where item comes in, maybe the data is in a better quality or not, or the cooperation with the front end is different. So this is more a difference we see, not so much in the regulatory setting.
Mm-hmm. When you have some findings, and I'm going to get to those in a little bit,
yeah.
Who is then the person who you are trying to, let's say, educate, or how do you try to improve the process? Because I can imagine that some of these findings, especially, there's going to be a lot of people involved because yeah. It's still a banking process. And if you go to a branch and you're talking to someone who gives you the loan, then it's mostly people. When if we are talking about accounts payables or purchase to pay, a lot of these things are done by machines. So are you then going and discussing these insights with, you probably the process owners, and then like try to educate the people on the branches, or how does then the change management actually look like for such a process, such as customer loan or lending?
Yeah. Yes, I mean, we are using here a setting that was established also as a lessons learned, since mm-hmm. Exactly our experience showed you need a kind of owner on the business side to be responsible for this observation and to follow up on that. Since our operating model works in a way that my team is the Celonis Competence Center, but mm-hmm. the analysis are in the hands and in the ownership of the business colleagues, who of course also know their processes best. So we established, I think, 1.5 years ago, a setting that before we start any kind of analysis, we ask for a clearly assigned so-called Celonis business owner. Mm-hmm. So this is a colleague sitting in the area of the process product hub, often nominated by the process owner, and who has really the role to be our entry point into the business area to set up the analysis, to define targets, KPIs that shall be reached with this analysis, but also to follow up on observations. And they should have exactly the list on which they prioritize, on which mm-hmm. they follow up, maybe if further deep dives need to be done, but also to bring it, for example, to decision makers when IT budget or further analysis needs to be done, mm-hmm. or also, of course, when a decision is that this observation maybe for the moment is not relevant enough to be followed up. That's all okay. We just require here really a transparent process in order that nothing gets lost. Yeah, and we try from our end to support it with a kind of documentation where we have a common view and a common list, what are the single observations per analysis. But also when my team sees something, they also can trigger that. Sometimes we are also doing the support, since mm-hmm. sometimes for colleagues it's still also difficult to to find the kind of constellations that look weird. So even my Celonis colleagues here have quite a good experience. Mm-hmm. And also sometimes we also trigger, for example, manager meeting when we think now maybe too many decisions are coming together. So also we support the colleagues in organizing that, preparing that in order that really on the fly these observations are somehow handled. Yeah.
Now, with all of these moving parts, is it difficult to then drive that change in whatever processes that is looking at? Is the adoption or reception of these changes good, or is that a point of contention?
I mean, it's certainly difficult, yeah, since, as you know, I mean, just the process mining outcome does not yet help or improve the process. So often further checks are needed, or even budget, or even a smaller or big IT project. So this is then often a separate discussion. But at least you have with the process mining outcome, the objective information where colleagues hopefully can better decide, is it worth it? What is the effect? And so on. Also, with this lean optimization team, which is working next to the Celonis team, we have also centrally a tool where we can also offer help. Yeah. So mm-hmm. when they see you, there is some something in the process which we do not understand, but really also maybe talk with the process users or really following it in the real time would be necessary, then I have also this tool to support them at least. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I recently visited a few of these Celonis world tours, and they were presenting some new features of the tool that I think it's still very early to even use, but mm-hmm. I do see it as a future, and it's basically integrating something similar to ChatGPT into the tool. So you basically query or just ask about some process insights, and it spits you back some numbers or some recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And that also brings me to another area of process mining, which we discussed in the podcast before with Marlon Dumas and Marcelo La Rosa, which is prescriptive process mining, essentially giving recommendations on what you should do next. Based on how the process was executed many, many times before. And do you also see that maybe in a few months or even years, the users could actually have some kind of an interface where they would just ask, they would be unsure about what they should do? Should I give a loan? Should I not give the loan? And instead of looking into some statistics, they would actually look into how the process is executed from start to the end.
No, absolutely. I mean, we saw this also in a short demonstration when just last week Celonis colleagues and Basti Nominacher were at Hypovereinsbank at our place. And it's, it's really amazing. And then I think in particular in our operating model where we want to have, normal business colleagues to understand the process and to work with the process, I think any tool and bridge that helps them easily to connect with the process, ask questions, have an analysis done in the background that reduces the hurdle to get connected with the process. I think this is really, really important. If it will be months, I don't know. Let's see how quickly this will come. But I mean, also in that direction, what I think will help us is also a functionality like this business miner, where also just the surface of the analysis is maybe more natural to them, and where also we can communicate and exchange across or with the observations directly in the analysis. Also, a thing like this, I think, is already a step towards a more intuitive usage of the analysis. Even more, of course, when such communicative and AI-driven functionalities belong here also to the tool.
Yeah, I think we have a lot to look forward to.
Yeah,
a lot of things coming down the pipeline. Now, looking at these features and stuff, is there something that you're personally really wanting to implement specifically in Hypovereinsbank?
Since I really think, in particular, that I have the possibility to comment and chat basically in the analysis with the business colleagues. This helps a lot in also following up of the observations, since up to now we were forced to have a kind of a separate list, separate tool where we track these observations. So this was always a wish of us that this comes together in the tool itself. But also, of course, to combine the process mining analysis with the direct execution is very interesting for us. So far we were focusing on more ex post analysis, mm-hmm. ex post meaning that, for example, we have a data update on a weekly frequency, so not mm-hmm. so much delayed, but more analysis per se. But now when we also try to have more real-time data to leverage on execution activities, triggering alerts, activities out of the tool, this is, of course, very important for us in bridging the analysis with the automatization itself. Mm-hmm. And this would be it will be very interesting. And we hope to have here the first go lives still in 23.
Nice. So not just looking retrospective at what was, exactly. but then as you focusing on the proactive, we can still exactly. do something about these. Okay.
Yeah. Which, of course, requires also the data precondition for that, which is always right. The tricky thing. But since we are here setting up the right tools and data model at the moment, we then hope to be ready to also leverage on that.
Mm-hmm. If I was a client or customer of your bank, of Hypofedeisen Bank, were there already some tangible changes that I would probably notice that were as a result of doing process mining and these process improvements? And we don't need to go into numbers, obviously, but I'm just like interested. Maybe you noticed that this walkthrough through the page was one step too long because there was like a big or bad retention or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, how would I experience it as a customer then?
Yeah. Maybe to take one example is certainly that we realized that really the information input and the data input was key root cause for ping pong, for the need of completion of data and so on. So with this information, also with the granularity in the analysis, that we knew exactly which information and which mask in many of the cases seemed to be wrong or missing. So the colleagues changed here the data input in a more automated way. So colleagues, for example, do not need to hand in now information any longer, even in paper, but they get the input mask at the very beginning in order to ensure that certain data, which always or often was missing or was wrong and needed to be completed, and then even the customer needed to be contacted again, mm-hmm. that this is now complete and right since the beginning. So data input now automated instead of manual is one example which also proved to speed up the process afterwards.
I love it. And I hope that you are also shared this view of mine, when it's fascinating when you do some relatively small change in the process and it has such a amplified outcome on so yeah. many different things. I think it's amazing.
Yeah. And of course, hopefully then the customer experience is also nicer. The colleagues can just insert something in the mask instead of filling and sending and bringing in yeah. the branch, of course.
Yeah, and we know how bureaucracy can be annoying for any customer without regard of what company they're dealing with.
Yeah.
I would love to see this one at one point in governments and in state sector.
Okay, now you're dreaming, Jakub.
Now I'm dreaming. Let's see, a man can dream. Now I have one more question before a wrap up, and that would actually be regarding the banking as a sector. Is this practice that you're doing with your company, let's say, a standard within other banks as well across the globe? Because we recently talked to a few people from oil and gas industry, and they tend to have these roundtables and discussing quite openly, which was pretty amazing for me, how they are maybe succeeding, but also failing in execution of their processes and how they are adopting this business process management to the best of their capabilities. Is this maybe also a trend that you're noticing in banking, that the banks actually do want to improve and are starting to maybe opening up to others as well in meaning, let's see what we can do together or how you are doing things and creating this this mastermind group, should you call it, where the sole focus is let's get better.
Yes, I see that. I mean, also just among Zelone's customers from mm-hmm. the financial sector, I think there's a good connection. We have 2-3 where we ever are also in kind of constant bilateral contact if there is something to exchange, but also we are following round tables. So yes, I think there is openness growing. Since, of course, these are often the same challenges, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I see that also our model, where we really manage to combine the different BPM disciplines, let me phrase it like that, so really the governance, the modeling, the optimization, the analytics, the umbrella in checking also cultural activities and so on. So that this is still not so much followed. So maybe these are then more distributed among the company. But I think that this model, at least this is our experience, really proves the synergies among the disciplines. Yeah, if I hear an issue, I can work with the optimization or with the KPIs I also get from Zelone's, I'm integrating them into the simplification program target. So they become directly also a official target for the colleagues to simplify their processes. So this mm-hmm. helps me also in steer the activities. And on this, we are also happily sharing with the other mm-hmm. institutions.
Andrea, all I can say is that this was really, really insightful episode. Also love to hear the implications it has for actual customers who don't even know that there is anything like process mining, but it is getting improved over time for their better experience. So Andrea, thank you very, very much for coming here and sharing your wisdom and knowledge with us.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Well, let's hope we can make it another time again and see how you're doing, especially after integrating these bridges for users and everything. That's going to be a fun time.
Still an exciting year ahead, yeah.
Yes, indeed,
for sure.
Indeed. For you, dear listeners, I hope we brought another nuggets of wisdoms as well and that you enjoyed our show. If you like us, leave us a rating on Google Podcasts or Spotify. And we always like if you share the podcast with your colleagues or friends who might get some valuable insights from the show as well. If you have any question, just reach us out on our email, miningourbusinesspodcast@gmail.com. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks of time. Andrea, Patrick, thank you very much and talk to you later. Bye-bye.